From KCPW in Salt Lake City, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. When he took office in 2005, Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon inherited a county government tainted by scandal. Allegations of mismanagement by the incumbent Nancy Workman hung like a cloud over the county, and Caroon's first order of business was to restore confidence and transparency in the county generally and in the mayor's office specifically. He wanted to keep the county safe, protect open space, provide recreational opportunities, and keep the county fiscally afloat during a very rough economy. Today on the program, Peter Caroon joins us for a look back at his time as mayor and just what Salt Lake County and his life look like going forward. Plus, with the fiscal cliff averted for now, a forecast of Utah's 2013 economy. All that in your calls after the news. Today on the program, Peter Caroon is with us to reflect on his tenure as Salt Lake County Mayor and the future of the county as he moves on. And Mayor Caroon, it's a pleasure to have you back. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning. Great to be here, Jennifer.
Later on in the program, an economic outlook for 2013. But first, Salt Lake County after Peter Caroon. Is life in the county better than it was 8 years ago? What do you see as Peter Caroon's greatest accomplishments? You can join us. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Mayor Caroon, from the outset, you pledged to serve just two terms as county mayor. Was that the right decision?
It was the right decision. It's a hard decision when you get to the end here. As I've loved my job for the last 8 years, but if you can't do something in 8 years, you're probably not going to get it done anyway. So I've had a great 8 years, loved every minute of it, almost every minute of it, and it's time to move on. I feel very comfortable with Ben McAdams coming in to take my place. So county government is in good shape, and we're still a AAA rated county by all three bonding rating agencies, which means we're in fiscally good shape. So I'm proud to have left it in what I think is in good shape, and proud to move on to something else.
As you reflect on your 8 years in office, what do you consider your greatest achievements?
There's been a lot of great things that we've worked on. I think alternatives to incarceration are one, working with trying to get mental health and substance abuse people out of the jail. We've done a lot on the environmental side, working on one of the largest solar projects in the United States. We've done some geothermal energy projects. We're working on a net zero project, building a building that will produce as much energy as it consumes. We've set aside thousands of acres of open space, larger than the size of the city of Holiday combined. We've just done some good things externally, and then internally, I think we've maintained a good fiscally prudent government. The county's running well, not many scandals out there, not any scandals that I know of. And certainly, I think we've got some great leaders who will continue to stay in county government and move forward.
You mentioned that you've enjoyed most of the time. So there are a couple of regrets, I'm assuming. What do you wish you could do over?
I don't know if I could do it over differently, because I think while they may have not been a lot of fun, they've certainly been issues that I think we made the right decision. The soccer stadium issue with the Real Salt Lake wasn't a fun thing to go through, but I think we made the right decision. The police fee was something that was controversial, nobody liked, but I still think at the end of the day that was the right thing to do to protect our police department. This tax increase at the end here certainly wasn't something I wanted to leave as I left county government, but it was the right thing to do to maintain our services and not have to lay off people or cut back important services like public safety or closing rec centers or libraries or things like that. So those are some things that weren't so fun to go through, but ultimately I think they were the right decisions to make.
We're speaking with Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon. Of course, he is ending his two terms in office. Coming up on Monday, a new mayor will be sworn in Salt Lake County as the mayor, Ben McAdams. If you'd like to join our conversation, we're reflecting on Mayor Caroon's tenure and what he's done right and some things about your life as county residents that you think may have been that you would have liked to have seen gone better, or the achievements that you think he's really made on this county. What is his imprint? 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Mayor Caroon, you won the election in 2004 with just 8,300 votes, I believe. As I mentioned in my introduction, you took over Salt Lake County when the county government was in pretty bad shape. Mayor Nancy Workman at the time had been accused of mismanagement. Confidence in county government was pretty low. Why in the world did you enter that race at that moment?
Well, frankly, I was asked to do so. And it's sort of an interesting story where I was at an event and somebody came up to me and said, I hear you're running for the county mayor position. And I said, well, I didn't know I was running for the county mayor position. And then somebody else came up to me and said the same thing. And finally, I saw Nicole Dunn, who was the Democratic County Party chair at the time. And I said, I hear I'm running for county government. She said, well, we were thinking of asking you that. And she did ask me at that time. And I said, well, let me go home and talk to my wife about it. And at that point, there had been one of the issues was the $100,000 hairdresser issue in Salt Lake County, where Nancy Workman's assistant was being paid over $100,000. And Mayor Workman made a comment about this person didn't have a college education. Mayor Workman said, education doesn't matter. And what she really meant was that not everybody has to have a college education to be successful. But when she said education doesn't matter, my wife was listening to the radio and she wasn't very happy about it because she had just finished her master's degree after giving birth to three children. And so she said, you get in that race and you go win it. And so I got in the race and fortune came my way and I won with 88,000 plus votes, which was a very narrow margin. But fortunately was reelected with almost 66% vote. So I think I've proved that I could run a good government. And people came up to me, I remember after the first couple of years, saying, you're doing a good job, almost in a surprised way that they weren't expecting that to happen. But frankly, I think I was smart enough to put together a good team, hired people who were smarter than I was, people who had worked in government, people who had worked in the private sector. So I think really my greatest achievement was putting together a really strong team of people who could help move things forward and get us past some of the scandals that were in place and had been in place. And frankly, most of the county employees do a great job. I would say, 99% do a fantastic job. It was just a few people at the top who really were causing the problems and really giving county government a black eye. So I think things turned around pretty quickly because we had a team in place who wanted to do the right thing, didn't have any baggage with them, didn't have any alternative agendas, didn't have any personal agendas to pad their pockets or make themselves more powerful. They were just in there because they wanted to do the right thing. And I think that's what we've tried to do for the last 8 years.
So it's one thing to try and restructure internally. How do you do it externally? Get the public on board, restore that trust in a government that's seen as corrupt in the general public.
We tried to be as open as possible. Our motto was open, efficient, ethical government, and really that's what we've tried to do for the last 8 years. We've been open with the press. I've given out my cell phone number and they call me when they feel like it. We've not hidden any mistakes we've made. I mean, we've admitted them, and I think most of the time you get in trouble for hiding mistakes, not for making mistakes. And so we were public with any mistakes that we made, and if we made mistakes, we tried to fix them. And so I think that helped restore people's faith in county government.
Mm. In the early days, on the agenda was, kind of this turnaround and restoring confidence in the government. What else did you have on your agenda, and how has that agenda changed over the 8 years that you've served?
Every year we sit down, or I sit down with my department heads and some of the other division directors, and say, what are our goals for this year? So I don't necessarily try to make it my goals, but try to come together and also listen to the community and see what the goals are in the community. Some people want new rec centers in their communities. Some people want new libraries. Some people want us to deal with issues with the jail. So we sat down and tried to figure out on an annual basis what those issues were. And starting out, again, I wanted to restore people's faith in county government. We also wanted to look at some environmental issues. There were some building up in the canyons that the citizens were angry about. So we wanted to look at those kind of issues. People were asking us to protect open space, so we did that. We also wanted to build more libraries and started after-school programs, and so I think we now have 8 after-school programs in the unincorporated parts of Salt Lake County and some of the cities. So those are just issues that evolved in the beginning, and then further issues came up as we moved along. The alternatives to incarceration issue, the dealing with people with mental health and substance abuse issues, that wasn't something I had a lot of knowledge about in the past. But then when I got into office and realized that 70% to 80% of the people in our jails have mental health or substance abuse issues, I realized, boy, this is a waste of money. We're spending $80 plus a day to keep somebody in jail, and they have mental health issues. What's the worst thing you can do with somebody with a mental health issue is put them in a cage with block walls and bars. And we decided we're going to take a different look at this, and we did that. We worked with our sheriff's office. We worked with our district attorney. We worked with our legal defenders. We worked with our mental health providers and substance abuse people, and really tried to tackle the issue. And I think we've done some amazing things on that front. So that was an issue that I didn't know about, didn't have a lot of experience with, but certainly when I got into office, realized that something needed to be done there.
When you had this process of education, I mean, how has that informed your views of real tragedies like Newtown, Connecticut, a subject that you recently wrote about in the Tribune?
No, it's we have a lot of issues, and mental health is one of those issues in our community, and it's always been a stigma. But my feeling is that when you go to the doctor, they should check your knees, they should check your pulse, and they should ask you questions about your mental health as well, because there's so many people, sometimes it's just small things. But there's a lot of people who suffer from depression on all variety of issues and reasons. And so I think we should treat mental health as we treat physical health and not stigmatize it as, frankly, we've done in the past. Same thing with substance abuse. We have a lot of prescription drug substance abuse. It's caused by people who've had back problems or other issues, and all of a sudden they find themselves addicted to drugs. And so we need to treat those issues as a health issue, not as some kind of social ill, or that something wrong with this person because they've found themselves in a situation where they probably never expected to be. And so that really was my goal, is to sort of normalize mental health and substance abuse as just another health issue that we have to deal with in our community.
We're speaking with Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon, sort of recapping the last 8 years as he's been in office, and the county's position, what it looks like as his time comes to a close. You can join our conversation if you've got something to say to Mayor Caroon. You can join us at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. We'll have more after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, we're conducting an exit interview with Peter Caroon about his time as Salt Lake County Mayor, a position that he's held for the past 8 years. Do you think that living in Salt Lake County is better now than it was 8 years ago? And what achievements do you credit to Mayor Caroon? What business do you think is left to do here in Salt Lake County? You can join us. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Mayor Caroon, in the first segment, you admitted your tenure has had a few rough patches, and I want to talk a little bit about the soccer stadium. You took a stand against putting county money into the Real Salt Lake Stadium in Sandy. Why?
Really, because financially it didn't make sense. We looked at the facts and figures. We looked at the numbers, and ultimately we decided that financially, this wasn't a project that citizens should be investing in. It wasn't because I didn't like soccer. Frankly, I think I was the only season ticket holder out of the group who was discussing this. I went to the games on a regular basis, but that didn't mean that I was necessarily going to put public dollars into the stadium. And so we try to negotiate a deal first as to what would be a fair deal, and then we wanted to look at the financials of the project. And once we got to the financials, we realized that it wasn't going to meet the projections that they were saying they could meet. They were projecting, I think, 11 concerts a year, and I don't know that they get more than 2 or 3 concerts a year at the stadium. They were projecting some pretty significant numbers in terms of people coming to the games, and they've had a great attendance record, but I don't think they've met the attendance records that they were projecting to meet the financial projections. So, again, it was just about numbers. It wasn't about any malice or not liking soccer. I'm a great soccer fan. So at the end of the day, we said no. The legislature decided otherwise. The governor and the legislature said, well, we disagree with you. Not only do we disagree with you, we're going to take your money too. So they took some of our transient room tax funding and put it towards the soccer stadium. And we have a great stadium. We have a great team. So I'm thrilled that we have them, but ultimately I felt that my decision was right and the legislature shouldn't have done what it did.
And so you stand by the decision, even though you have committed county funds for this new performing arts center in downtown Salt Lake City. Is it apples and oranges, or are these two facilities similar in some ways?
I think they're apples and oranges. First of all, one is a public facility. The other one is a private facility that local government is putting funding into. So in some sense, we're subsidizing a local developer or a local team owner, whereas the arts facility is a public facility, and it's there to provide arts to the masses. And we recognize that, yes, that's another public subsidy, but when it's public money, and the public takes all the risk and takes all the profit as well, if there is any.
In the end, you mentioned that state lawmakers overrode your decision. They skimmed money from the county's hotel tax to help pay for the soccer stadium. It's not a decision that you supported clearly. Is that one of the reasons why you decided to enter the governor's race in 2010?
Well, really, the reason I entered the governor's race, because I thought John Huntsman was doing a great job. And when he left, I think there was a void there. And I think we needed somebody who was a little more moderate to maintain the governor's or stay in the governor's role, and somebody who would work on some important issues that, frankly, I think were being ignored, like education. And finally, I think our state is waking up to the fact that we can't continue to be last in education funding on a per pupil basis and have a strong economy or have well-educated children in our community. So that was one of the major reasons. Also, I just thought we need some balance in our state government. You know, now we have, I think, over 80% of our legislature is Republican, and less than 20% now are Democrats, and we have a Republican governor as well. And so I think balanced government is good government. In Salt Lake County, we've certainly seen a balanced government. We have me as the Democratic mayor. We have a 5 Republican to 4 Democrat council, and so we're very well balanced. We have good discussions. Everything's out in the open. Nothing's hidden, whereas on the state level, you don't see that. Doesn't mean we don't have a lot of good state employees doing great things. We do. It's a fairly well-run government, efficient government, but there's still a lot of voids there, and they're hidden under the rug, and they're not out in the open, and people don't get to see what's really going on up there, and I think that's the problem we have in Utah state government. Mm.
In the end, you were not successful in unseating Governor Herbert. Any regrets in that race? Are you still glad that you entered that race?
It's always a great experience and a great way to get to know your state better, great way to get to know the people better, great way to get to know the state government better. And so it was painful losing, but you know, any painful experience ultimately is a good learning experience as well. So I learned a whole lot and love the great state of Utah, and I was glad I did it.
We're speaking with Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon about his 8 years as county mayor. If you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. You mentioned earlier another hiccup along the way, a very unpopular fee for police service in the unincorporated county. What lessons did you learn from that episode?
Well, the lesson we learned was, first of all, if you're going to give bad news, you got to give it early and explain it. And really, our big issue there was we didn't know how much the fee was going to be. until, you know, several weeks before we had to roll it out. And so that was our biggest problem. So we tried to warn people that there was going to be a police fee, but we only thought it was going to be a few dollars a year. It ended up being a lot more than that. And that's really, I think, what caused the problem. And then, you know, there's always politics, too. And so while you have something that's not necessarily going to be loved by the public, once you had, you know, political parties coming in and trying to attack the fee for political purposes, it just made it even a bigger issue. But ultimately, we had spun off a new police department, the Unified Police Department, for the unincorporated areas and some of the cities. We put in this fee to help make sure that it was well-funded and that it was fairly funded, where businesses and homeowners and even churches were going to have to pay the fee, because that's where a lot of the services were being required. And so we implemented that. People said you should have done a tax increase instead, but we couldn't have done a tax increase because the state law didn't allow us to increase taxes enough to pay for the police services. And so it was a complicated issue, hard to explain to the public. And when something's hard to explain and it's not a positive thing, it's just snowballs and gets out of hand in terms of the communications. And that's really what happened. But ultimately, I think it was the right thing to do to make sure we had good, strong public safety in our unincorporated areas.
You mentioned the Unified Police Department. We have a Unified Fire Authority, and now we're going to have this Public Works entity that will be taking over garbage and recycling and that kind of thing. I mean, is that the direction that Salt Lake County government is going, kind of parceling out to these independent, pseudo-independent groups, the services?
I think that's the way it will go. And it's not just to create these independent organizations. It's trying to get cities and the county working together to collaborate and also creating economies of scale. So I think it would be a disaster if we had 17 police departments, 17 fire departments, 17 public works agencies. It's time for us to work smarter. Our county's grown together. We have 1 million people. We don't need to each have our own police and fire and public safety and sanitation. We can all start working together. And really, that was my goal. And my goal was also to make sure the unincorporated areas like Magna and Mill Creek and Copperton and Kearns, White City, Emigration Township, that they could all be protected if there was an incorporation in one unincorporated area. So, for example, we saw Mill Creek, who was trying to incorporate and become its own city, and that would have left a pretty big hole for the other parts of the unincorporated area. So really my goal is to create these independent agencies, so it doesn't matter if one area incorporates or not, they still have the services, they're protected financially by creating these independent agencies. So that was my goal. It's still going on. I think it's the right thing to do again. And then if an area wants to incorporate, so be it. It doesn't really affect the other areas of the unincorporated county.
Speaking with Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon as he wraps up 8 years as county mayor, if you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to the phones, and Gladys is joining us. Gladys, good morning.
Good morning. I just barely tuned the radio, so maybe already somebody called about this. Whatever, I would like to express my gratitude to Mr. Groom. I think there has been so many improvements in so many different areas, but the area that I'm really very thankful is, since I have kids and many grandkids, is the parks and recreation area. I think it's very important that we support that because of good to be healthy and fit and go out the park, and you have good parks and places where you can exercise without you breaking an arm or a leg. Or people that, you know, can afford to go to spas and gyms or very expensive recreation centers. I think parks are very accessible to everybody, and I think it's very important. And I think it has been a lot of improvement in that area. I noticed even, of course, I'm a soccer fan, and I noticed there is a lot of improvement with soccer in different areas. Like the county has been taking with a very affordable fee for kids to do indoor and outdoor soccer. We saw doing a competitive area. So I think it has been a lot of improvement. I really appreciate your hard work, and we will miss you. Thank you.
Gladys, thank you so much for the call. Mayor Caroon, it looks like you've got a fan, somebody who really appreciates the county's commitment to parks and open space, and that's been a priority for you.
It has, and thank you, Gladys. Really, our goal in Parks and Recreation is to not only make sure people are healthy, but also try to build communities, and I think that's what Parks and Recs does. And, you know, for young kids, I would say you can either build more parks and recreation centers, or you can build more jails. I'd rather keep them doing productive things while they're young, and then you don't have to deal with the aftermath of kids who aren't doing productive things. So Parks and Recreation is a great way for young children to stay active and stay healthy and learn lessons of life. You know, when you're playing on these soccer teams or hockey or whatever the sport may be, you know, they learn life lessons of teamwork and working together and being fit and healthy and all those things that we know are important and need to stress in our community. So I've been proud of what we've done. We had the Parks and Trails bond that we just recently passed, and now we'll build three new major regional parks and add some new trails in the county, and I think that's what our citizens love. And sometimes we get in trouble from our legislature when we're spending money on recreation centers, but I think ultimately quality of life is what's important for our community, and building community is important as well.
You have been criticized for the rec centers, and primarily because people say, well, the private sector can take care of that. There are a lot of private gyms around. They're trying to, you know, build a business and make a profit. Why should the county be in the business of providing recreation centers?
Because it's not available to everybody if it's just done by the private sector. I mean, you're not going to see families going to Gold Gyms and work out. Some will, but for the most part, you know, bringing your 3 or 4 or 5, 6 kids into the Gold Gym is not going to make sense. And also, some of the programs just aren't affordable in the private sector. My kids play in competition soccer, and it costs a lot of money to be in those programs. So Salt Lake County's idea is to provide more recreational-type facilities and recreational-type programs. So the junior jazz program or some of our soccer programs, they're for everybody, and they're not competitive. We want everybody to be involved and still learn those life lessons and have fun and be healthy. And so we've stayed in the business, even if we've been criticized for being in it, because we think that's what's important to our community. In this last bond round, we saw it was important because people voted for it with a fairly significant majority. And so it's important for the community. It's important for our quality of life. And frankly, when people come here and businesses come here, they say, wow, what a great quality of life we have in Utah. And I think it'll be easy to get people from out of state to come here and work here. And these smart people who could live anywhere, they're going to come to Utah because we have a great quality of life.
Gladys, thanks so much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. We're speaking with Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon about about the past 8 years in office. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is the number. You mentioned the Parks and Trails bond, which Salt Lake County voters just recently approved. But days after Election Day, you announced a property tax increase, and many have questioned the timing of your announcement. Why did you not disclose to people about this tax increase before Election Day? I mean, do you think that was the most transparent thing to do?
Really, you know, we didn't know, I didn't know what the property tax increase was going to be until the Friday before the election. So it wouldn't have made a difference announcing on the Friday before election, because frankly, we didn't even know what that amount was going to be. Even the Monday before, still trying to change things around a little bit to get it nailed down. So,
but do you understand the frustration that you've heard from some people?
Oh yes, I understand the frustration, and you know, we knew we were having some financial problems, but you know, we knew it was getting harder and harder to balance a budget. We hadn't had a tax increase in 12 years, and people don't really understand how local government works, where we collect the same amount of property taxes every year, no matter what home values are doing, except for any new buildings. We're collecting the same amount of money. So after 12 years, you know, a dollar isn't worth what it was 12 years ago. And so we knew we were considering a tax increase, but again, I didn't know how much it was going to be right until the end. And then politically, we decided in August we're gonna wait till after the election, not knowing whether there's going to be a tax increase or not. We decided in August we don't want this to be part of the political going-ons with the upcoming mayor's election and some of the city council races or county council races. So we said we'll announce it after the election, and that was the decision we made. It wasn't my decision alone. It was others who were involved with that. But we actually did release our budget, or at least our tentative budget, before the election. So it was out there. It wasn't widely disseminated in the press, but it was out there. So we weren't trying to hide anything. We were just trying to have a budget that wasn't going to be influenced by any politics, and it was going to be a budget that I felt ultimately comfortable with for the next mayor.
Mm. Do you think you'll be remembered for the tax increase? It's the first tax increase in the 8 years that you've served.
Yeah, hopefully I won't be remembered just for a tax increase. But it was about, I think, 3% on somebody's tax bill at the end of the day. And you know, if you want the services, you gotta pay for them. I don't think it's something that people will have a lot of heartburn with in the long run. I think people would have been angry if we'd started closing recreation centers and libraries and starting cutting back on prosecutions and closing jail beds. I think that would make people angrier than a $60 plus tax increase in a year. It kept our government in good shape. It allowed us to give our employees a 1.75% raise, which wasn't really a raise. It was actually restoring some of the salaries they lost when we went through the recession. So it was the right thing to do. It's not pleasant. Whatever I do to the citizens, I do to myself too. So I'm the first one to complain when I open my own tax bill. But there's a lot of other entities that are raising taxes too and have been raising taxes over the last 8 years. It was just our turn to do it, and it was something that needed to be done for 2013 and beyond, even though I wasn't going to be the mayor.
You've been transitioning with Mayor-elect Ben McAdams over the past month or so. He's leaving a vacancy in the Utah Senate, a position that you had hoped to fill, but you lost that to the Democratic Party Chair Jim DeBacchus. How did you react to that loss?
I wasn't happy about it. No, I knew it would be a tough race. It's the most liberal district in Utah and Salt Lake County, and so I knew it would be a tough race. I'm more of a moderate than on the liberal side. So I realized that I was going to have to work hard, and I did work hard, but I wasn't sure what the outcome was going to be, and I ended up losing that race. I wasn't happy, but ultimately it is what it is, and life moves on.
Any public service in your future?
Well, I thought the Senate race would be a good way for me to stay in public service. So right now I have no plans. My plans are to get back into the private sector. Haven't nailed down a final position just yet, but I think I'm getting close here, and look forward to getting back into the private sector. It's been 8 years, and that's my background, and I love business, and look forward to getting back into the business world, and hopefully sometime in the future I can serve again in a more public role, and as somebody getting back into private business, I'll hopefully get to work with some kind of nonprofit organizations and stay in the field of doing good things in the community.
Rumors are that you're talking to a tech company. Do you want to make any revelations today on where you're headed? What's next for Peter Caroon?
No, I've been talking to some tech companies, talking to some real estate developers, which is my background as well. And nothing's nailed down yet, so I'll hopefully know something by next Monday, which is my last day as county mayor, because I want to start working next Tuesday. I don't want to. I've taken a few weeks off over the last couple of months, and ready to get back to work. So don't want to take a break. Want to get back going. I love to work and love to work hard, and that's what I want to do.
Any regrets as you leave office? Do anything that you wish that you had accomplished, anything on your to-do list that wasn't quite finished yet? What are you hoping that Mayor McAdams will take from your legacy?
One of the things we'd worked on is this net zero building for our district attorney's office on the corner of State Street and 6th South. I hope Mayor McAdams can get that finished. Actually, he's doing another thing that I wished we'd taken a look at, was having a manager for the unincorporated county, sort of an unincorporated city manager type of role, and he's doing that, which I think is good. We've also got the convention hotel that's out there, and we're looking at that. You know, another thing I think needs to be looked at pretty strongly is small business and these redevelopment areas that have been created. The legislature has created a monster with the new laws on redevelopment areas, and there's a lot of money that's going out the door of local governments and education to developers and businesses. And while I support new developments and businesses, I think it's gotten totally out of control, and it's affecting other businesses in the county as well as just our local homegrown businesses here.
Sounds like there's unfinished business from your perspective. Will we be hearing more from Peter Caroon on some of these public policy issues?
No, I'll probably keep my mouth shut and stay in the background. And if Mayor McAdams wants help, I'm more than happy to help him. But I don't want to be, you know, the ex-mayor trying to still be the mayor. I think Mayor McAdams, he's got a good staff, or almost all of the staff is now in place, except for a few. And I think he'll do a good job and be able to figure these out on his own.
Well, Mayor Caroon, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your service. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great, and certainly appreciated KCPW being out there serving the local community and letting our citizens know what's going on in local government. You're one of the few who does that, and we appreciate it.
Good luck to you, sir. Up next, a 2013 economic forecast, but first a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. More of the same. That's the projection for Salt Lake County's 2013 economy. And today on the program, we're finding out why economists at the Salt Lake Chamber and the real estate giant CBRE think the county's economy will continue to outpace national gains and maintain a slow but steady growth. Joining me in studio is Darren Malott. He is senior research analyst at CBRE, the world's largest commercial real estate firm. And they collaborated with the Salt Lake Chamber on the report Economic Outlook for Salt Lake County 2013. Darren, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Also with us, Marty Carpenter with the Salt Lake Chamber. Marty, good to have you here again. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Not the world's largest chamber of commerce, but the state's largest.
There
so
you go.
That counts for something.
If you would like to join our conversation, if you're an investor or a homeowner or you run a small business, how are you feeling about the 2013 economy? And what indicators are you looking at as a guide? You can join our conversation. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. The economic story of the day, of course. The New Year's Day vote to avoid the fiscal cliff. Many taxpayers and investors are breathing a huge sigh of relief. And Darren Malott, do you share that relief?
But it's a temporary sigh. So, I think that's something that we should all keep in focus, that, the sequestration or the automatic budget cuts were pushed back only 2 months, and that's going to coincide with the debt ceiling debate. So, I think we're going to have some really tough policy debates coming up, possibly tougher than what we just witnessed over the last month or so.
In your Economic Outlook 2013, I mean, you put a lot of responsibility at the feet of policymakers and say, the economic health of the nation really depends on people working out a deal. You say this is kind of kicked the can down the road just a little bit. So we're not out of the woods yet.
No, definitely not. I mean, Congress and the president are the only ones that can change tax policy. They're the only ones that can address long-term spending policy and budget deficits and the debt. So, these are all things that affect the way people view the economy, the way people make investments. And the policymakers are definitely in the driver's seat.
Marty, do you think that local business owners are as anxious as some of the commentators that we have heard over the last couple of weeks, just nationally, looking at Washington for answers?
Well, I think our chief economist at the chamber, Natalie Gochner, puts it best that unfortunately, right now, you have business in the backseat of the car and the government, the policymakers in the front seat, driving the economy. And it really should be more of a balance or preferably flip it around. Businesses like to plan. Businesses like certainty. businesses like to know the rules of the game they're playing. And when there's constant change and deadline pushing and cans being kicked down the road, it makes it difficult. And I think it's frustrating for businesses in general, because when they look at things, you know, a business leader will say, oh, here's my 5-year plan, and here's my 10-year plan, and here's the sketchings of my 20-year plan. What do I need to invest in now so that I'm in a good position in 5 years and 10 years down the road? With the United States, the way we budget things, it's not always planned so far. And here we are, you know, we've had even sort of a showdown in Congress and with the president, and all we've really done is delay the real decisions 2 more months down the road. And I don't know if anyone's overly optimistic that we're ultimately going to address the real issues 2 months from now. So I think it's frustrating for businesses to say, to see that where they would like to have certainty and be able to plan, and that's the way that you do business, the nation, in itself a large fiscal entity, is run so very differently and in many ways so very poorly.
Hmm. Speaking with Marty Carpenter from the Salt Lake Chamber and Darren Malott with CBRE. CBRE and the Salt Lake Chamber collaborated on an economic forecast, the 2013 Economic Outlook for Salt Lake County. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. How are you feeling about the economy in the new year? 801-355-8255. With Washington aside, you know, the scenario for Utah, you say, looks okay. There's healthy growth expected, 3% during 2013 in terms of jobs. We're looking at more housing sales. Household income is expected to increase. These are all bright spots, right, Darren?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's certainly interesting to look at the contrast between the national economy and the Utah economy, just in the sense that where there's a lot of uncertainty in the national economy, there tends to be a little bit more certainty in Utah. People have confidence in the way that the state is run. And I think that goes, you know, for individual citizens as well as businesses large and small. You know, we are looking at economic growth that will be in line with historical averages, particularly with regard to jobs. So around, 3% job growth for next year. You know, we have a lot of things going for us. Healthy demographics. We have a good reputation right now. We're getting a lot of attention from businesses nationally. And, you know, even in my business, you know, we're looking at money, international money that's, you know, taking another look at the state. We do have a lot of good things going for us. We expect those things to continue, but again, that's provided policymakers don't mess that up for us in Washington.
One bright spot in the report, you point out that wages in Salt Lake County are expected to grow by almost 6% this year. What are the indicators that point toward that number?
Yeah, so you know, what we're looking at again is just healthy job growth. We have some models that take into consideration a lot of different conditions in the economy, and so that's taking into consideration just the broader picture, and that's what we're looking at as the effect on wages.
Many credit these blockbuster projects like the City Creek expansion and the airport tracks line for keeping the local economy afloat in these really tumultuous times. Not every region in the country has been as lucky as we have here in Utah. Are the forecasts for, you know, slow and steady growth in 2013, are those based on additional big blockbuster projects or what, Marty?
Well, Darren may be better to answer that, but I would say that, yes, we have benefited from it. We were very fortunate at a time when even within our state we were losing a lot of construction jobs. That loss would have been much greater had there been some sort of delay in, say, the City Creek construction project. Because our state had managed its finances so well for a number of years, we were able to do what good businesses do during a downturn, and that's gain market share or make smart. You know, we gained market share on the states that we compete with. We made smart investments when all of a sudden interest rates were low and material costs went down. That's when we were able to sort of accelerate the rate of our building roads and other things like that. So we really took advantage of that downturn, and because of that, it's positioned our state much better in a much stronger spot. And as Darren has mentioned, at a state level, there's a lot to be really optimistic about for Utah businesses, for people who live in Utah. That X factor has always been we can outpace the rest of the nation, but we always are somewhat tied to the nation's to the national economy. So Utah can outperform the nation, but only by so much. And we're doing that about as much as we possibly can right now. But had we taken a different course on the fiscal cliff, or if we don't ultimately address the issues that really face our nation, yeah, Utah's fate is tied to the nation as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt we've benefited over the last several years from a lot of these large projects. It's important to note we do have a large project that's just beginning, which is the airport redevelopment, terminal redevelopment program. And so a lot of that's front-loaded. So between now and the first quarter of 2018, have a little over $1 billion spent there. But, you know, yeah, those things are coming to a close. But I think the important thing to recognize is that those projects, these large infrastructure projects, whether public or private, are going to pay dividends in the years to come, right? Businesses are going to look at the state and say, hey, we have the infrastructure that we need. You know, there's good quality of life here. They've been doing the things that are necessary to promote growth over the long term. So, yeah, we're not going to see the benefit in construction from those jobs, but the impact on the broader economy is still there, and it's a positive impact.
Mm. In the report, you call commercial real estate the economy in a box. What exactly does that mean? And you know, is commercial real estate kind of at the forefront of how healthy a local economy is?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's a term some of our economists coined a little while back. And I think the best way to look at it is commercial real estate literally houses commerce. So, you know, where is the demand for commercial real estate? I mean, if people aren't spending money, there's no need for a new retail shop. You know, if employers aren't hiring, there's no need for office space. We can look at different sectors of commercial real estate and tell you how the economy's doing in a lot of ways. And so, you know, we've seen healthy job growth. In the professional business services, financial services, those are the office-using sectors, or primary office-using sectors, and that's showing up. You know, we're seeing some growth, some progress in the office market. Our industrial market has one of the lowest availability rates in the country. That's partly due to a healthy local economy, but also because of things that we have going for us that, you know, aren't going to change anytime soon, like our geography, you know, our location makes it a great distribution hub. Retail, you know, people have jobs. They have some money to spend. So we see large retailers like Scheels building a 220,000 square foot store in the south part of the valley. You know, that's a real big vote of confidence in the local economy. For a company like Scheels to say, hey, you know, we think we can invest this money there, and we're going to get a return on that investment.
Hmm. Well, as rosy as these local indicators are, I mean, we are beholden to Washington, but beyond as well. I mean, internationally, particularly in Europe, the European economies are really struggling. What effect does that have on Salt Lake, on Salt Lake County, on Utah?
Absolutely. Well, I think in 2008, through the financial crisis, a lot of people realized how small the world is in a lot of ways. When you're looking at the European financial crisis, debt crisis, you can give it a lot of different names. There are a lot of different components to it. But the real concern and the most immediate impact on the United States and the Utah economies would be through the capital markets. So provided policymakers there, again, we have policymakers, elected officials that have to make decisions so that we can move forward with some sustainable growth. That's the case all around the world. In the largest economic blocks, whether it's China, Europe, or the United States, we're depending on policymakers to put in place the right policies so that businesses can invest so that we can continue growing. And one of the themes in the report is that, look, a lot of these issues that were with us in 2012, well, they're still going to be with us in 2013.
Got about 30 seconds, Marty. So local businesses, are they looking at these indicators and thinking, okay, now is a good time to expand? I mean, do you sense a general optimism out there as we go into 2013?
I think within the state there's a lot of optimism, but it's so difficult to answer that question because there was just a vote last night, early this morning, and so the reaction to the way that was handled – it's probably a little too early to say, but I think generally speaking, set that aside, put that in a box of its own and say, what's the feeling for businesses in Utah? Optimistic. We can see that we're doing better than the rest of the country. Now's the time to realize that you are operating, if you're a Utah business, in the safe port within the nation. And yeah, I think generally a feeling of optimism.
Mm. Marty Carpenter with the Salt Lake Chamber and Darren Malott with CBRE. Gentlemen, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director today is Tyler Ford. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Coming up tomorrow, Salt Lake County's future mayor-elect Ben McAdams will join us for a look at his priorities and prospects. I hope you join us for that. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.